Welcome back to another episode of Rapid Fire, everybody. My name is Savannah Hernandez, your host for the next hour as we talk about just the complete destruction of America. It is Monday, May 10th, and for the first time ever, because normally before I start the shows, I like to scroll through Twitter just so I can make sure that I have the most update news for you, up-to-date news for you guys, and I have everything that's really going on laid out for you. And for the first time ever, I had to stop scrolling, and I had to stop scrolling because there's so much news coming out right now in regards to the destruction of our country, international relations. Everything is just in complete shambles, and people say that I'm dramatic when I say these things, but I'm going to lay out for you the absolute state of our country right now. And Joe Biden's just failed leadership. We're essentially in a test run for socialism, okay? Everyone is dependent on the government, on government handouts, so no one's willing to go to work. We're currently experiencing food and gas shortages. The US dollar is worthless. Joe Biden is continuing to pretend like none of this is actually happening, and international relations are completely crumbling. So that's where we're currently at. And I think that this picture perfectly exemplifies that. You know, I woke up this morning, I was scrolling through Twitter, and this is the meme that popped into my head as I watched international relations. There's a lot going on in Israel that we're going to get into with Iran. There's a lot going on with China right now. Again, food and gas shortages going on here in the US. So this is the image that immediately popped into my mind in regards to where we are at as a country. Now, I tweeted this out today, and it's basically a little bit of an outline of what we're going to be talking about on the show today. And it says, Biden has been in office for a little over 100 days, and rockets are being fired at Israel. China is calling for Beijing to missile strike Australia if they aid the U.S. North Korea and Russia are laughing at us. Businesses can't function because no one wants to work. There are food, gas, and supply shortages. Our intelligence agencies / military are more focused on their sexuality than their job. Conservatives are now accepting and supporting transgenderism. The Biden administration is openly discriminating against white people. The border is wide open. Medical tyranny abounds, and our First Amendment no longer exists. Amazing. So this is what we're going to be going through during the show tonight. And this is basically like a complete outline of Joe Biden's first 100 days in office. Again, we're a little bit past that date, but look at the absolute state of not only our country, but the world right now. It is absolute chaos. And again, test run for socialism. Everyone who voted for Joe Biden, congratulations. Here's the utopia that, you know, allegedly socialism is supposed to bring to countries. But no, the reality is very dire, very chaotic. We're currently living through these gas shortages. We're going to be getting into that. The US dollar is absolutely worthless. And Joe Biden is 100% to blame. Now, Joe Biden put this video out today, and he said that anyone collecting unemployment who is offered a suitable job must take the job or lose unemployment benefits. And I'm still working on audio issues for videos, guys, so here's just some B-roll for you, and I'll talk over this. But this man's basically saying, oh, yeah, you know, it's fine, everyone. It's fine. Like, people aren't going to take advantage of the system. You know, if you're offered a suitable job, you just got to take it or lose the unemployment benefits. And of course, immediately everyone started commenting on just how hilarious this statement in itself is, because we know that people are going to take advantage of this system just as they have been doing. And again, anyone collecting unemployment who is offered a suitable job, I want to focus in on that point there, because if you're not actively looking for a job, technically, if you're not offered a job, then you could still stay on unemployment, right? But yeah, Joe Biden says that people aren't really going to do that, and that's not going to happen, which, again, absolutely ridiculous. Actually, let's watch this video together. Let's watch this video.
Well, look, fifth thing we're going to do, we're going to make it clear that anyone collecting unemployment who is offered a suitable job must take the job or lose their unemployment benefits. There are a few COVID-19 related exceptions, so that people aren't forced to choose between their basic safety and a paycheck. But otherwise,
All right, that's enough of that. Again, there it is, right there. If you're offered a job and you must take it if you want to have those unemployment benefits, or you're going to lose your unemployment benefits, blah, blah, blah. But again, if you're not actively looking for a job, then technically a job can never be offered to you. And we know right now that people are not actively looking for work, which is why businesses are struggling to hire people and they're having to shut down and close down. They're having to put up signs on their windows saying, please be patient with our staff, the ones who are willing to show up to work today, because no one is willing to work. Again, there was McDonald's in Florida who was giving people $50 just to come in for a job interview, because that is how big the lack of people willing to work is currently at in this country. Now, Joe Biden also came out with this statement as well. He said that there's been a lot of discussion since the Friday job report that people are being paid to stay home rather than go to work. We don't see much evidence of that. And I just love seeing these types of quotes from the sitting president of the United States, because they are just straight up and absolute lies. You guys, if you have watched my streams, if you have kept up with them, we have been talking about this for weeks now. How, again, businesses are paying people to come in for interviews because nobody wants to work. Businesses are not even able to operate at this point. We're seeing the inflation of our dollar. It's completely worthless because we have printed all of this money and we are now putting this fake worthless money back into our economy, and no one is willing to work, which is why we're now seeing the food and supply shortages and the gas shortages. Those are linked not to people not willing to work, but something else. And we're going to be getting into that here in a second. But it's just so comical to me to see Joe Biden coming forward and saying that, yeah, if you're you know, offered a job, you got to take it or you're going to lose your unemployment benefits. But also, there's not a requirement that you have to actively be seeking a job. Now, Ron DeSantis, who's definitely smarter than Joe Biden and is doing a phenomenal job right now of leading Florida, says that Florida's unemployment benefits will soon require proof of job searches. DeSantis said unemployment claimants will likely have to start showing how they looked for work once an executive order waiving a work search requirement ends May 29th. And again, this is kind of a common sense thing to me, to be quite honest. I don't know about you guys, but I think it is common sense that if you're giving people unemployment benefits, that you should require them to show proof that they're actually looking for a job, or else basically you get what we're currently living through right now. No one wants to go to work. Everyone's like, well, why am I going to go to work for the same amount that the government will pay me to stay home every single day? I don't know. So on top of there just being a complete lack of people willing to go to work, we are also now experiencing gas shortages. This is a video from South Carolina. It is from Greg Suskin, who is saying, this is crazy. I stopped for gas just now, having no idea what was happening. It's out. People here told me they'd been to other stations and found the same. Let's go ahead and watch this video.
This is the QT gas station on Celanese around 9:30 at night. They are out of gas. Everybody sitting here is not getting gas. Everything except diesel is out. What they just told me.
And again, too, just so we can just make sure that this really is an issue, that's just South Carolina. Maybe that's just South Carolina. Maybe they're just having a day over there. Oh, nope. Okay, let's take a look at Tennessee. What's going on over there? Lisa says, literally backed up to the street, Gas and Go Highway 58, Chattanooga, Tennessee, said most gas stations are sold out of gas. Lisa girl, turn your camera next time so we can actually see that video this way. But let's see, where else are we seeing this at? Also in Plymouth, North Carolina, lines are around the building. Four stations are out. Hashtag gas shortage. If you guys are on Twitter, go follow Jack Posobiec. He's doing a really good job of retweeting all of these videos and keeping everyone up to date with where this is happening and, you know, how people are reacting to it. What people are experiencing. Zero Hedge also put out this article or this tweet that says, at least two gas stations in Tallahassee, Florida were completely out of stock, according to employees who asked not to be named. In Asheville, North Carolina, Aubrey Clements, a clerk at an ExxonMobil station, answered the phone with, hello, I'm currently out of gas. And why are we seeing these gas shortages? What's going on? This seems so sudden and out of the blue. So let's take a peek at what's going on. Apparently, there was a cyber attack on U.S. pipelines carried out by a criminal gang, said the FBI. DarkSide, a group of veteran cyber criminals, is believed to be behind the ransomware attack on Colonial Pipeline, one of the biggest pipelines in the U.S., and, again, the worst cyber attack on critical U.S. infrastructure to date. The hackers behind the ransomware attack on a vital U.S. pipeline operator are suspected to be a professional cyber criminal group called DarkSide. Now, apparently, the cyber attack forced Georgia-based Colonial Pipeline to shut a critical fuel network that serves populous states on the East Coast. It supplies nearly 45% of the fuel consumed in those states. Colonial said it was hit by a ransomware attack, wherein hackers typically lock up computer systems by encrypting data and then demanding a large ransom to decrypt it. Okay, so we're essentially dealing with cyber terrorists here, right? And we're the U.S. We should not be having to experience this. And, you know, if our FBI is involved as well, we need to be holding people accountable. Well, not so much. For one, we are now getting at least 6 tankers booked to ship gasoline from Europe to the U.S. following this cyber attack that, again, shut down one of our top fuel pipeline networks. And when asked about this, we had Joe Biden's White House officials basically saying they have not offered advice to Colonial Pipeline on whether to pay a ransom to hackers who shut down a vital U.S. pipeline. She says that this is a private sector decision, and Mike Cernovich points out that no one is afraid of us anymore. No one is afraid of the U.S., and this is a perfect example of this. We have cyber terrorists who are coming and shutting down our pipelines. We have gas shortages in our countries. We're now having to buy gas from Europe and have it imported from other countries. Under Donald Trump, I believe we were the biggest exporter of crude oil, where our oil industry was doing amazing, and now under Joe Biden, 100 days in, a little bit over 100 days in, and we're already having gas shortages. We're already having to buy oil from other countries. And we already have his administration saying, oh, we got attacked by cyber terrorists. Well, it's a private sector decision. There's really not much we can do about that one. Great leadership, Joe Biden. Absolutely stunning and brave. We love to see it here in America. And you know what? I'm not like the left who was railing against Trump for the past 4 years. And who hoped that he failed. Seeing Joe Biden fail this badly makes me really upset. I don't ever want to see a U.S. sitting president failing, because guess what? My ass has to live through that. And do I want to live through gas shortages and food shortages and socialism and people not wanting to go to work? Absolutely not. I want our country to be prosperous. I want our country to be great. And so seeing Joe Biden fail this miserably, it's not something to praise or laugh at or to, you know, rub in the faces of Democrats and liberals. This is devastating for our country. It's devastating for the world. We're an international laughingstock. And again, this is our test run for socialism. And I hope all the Joe Biden voters like it. I know that they don't, because I've been following them on Twitter and a lot of them are bitching about gas prices. The same, you know, policies that they voted into office that rose those gas prices, the exact person that they put into office knowing that these were the bad policies that he was going to implement that would lead us down this path of destruction. Did I think it was going to happen this quickly? Absolutely not. Am I rooting for Joe Biden to fail? Absolutely not. Because guess what? All Americans suffer. And that is exactly what is happening. Now, again, going back to those food shortages, I found this article from ABC 13. So many shortages. Here's a list of major consumer goods affected by supply chain interruptions. We went over this article, you know, last stream about how there is chicken shortages going on right now. Apparently, there's chlorine shortages, computer chips, gasoline. We just went through that one. Ketchup, apparently, lumber, metals, steel. You know, the list goes on and on, because again, on top of this growing list of shortages, we also have this article that came out from the Wall Street Journal today. Corn is the latest commodity to soar. Prices have risen roughly 50% in 2021, and a bushel costs more than twice what it did a year ago. So there you guys go. That's your test run for socialism. Just not very fun to live through. I wouldn't recommend it. I don't appreciate watching our once great nation just absolutely be destroyed. And I was reading this article as well, because going back to how our dollar is just absolutely worthless, this is from The Bite. It was out today. Cryptocurrency is now worth more than all U.S. currency in circulation. Experts warn it could be signs of a bubble. Now, this article on its face is like, okay, wow. So the U.S. dollar is really worthless. But then if you just read into the first and second paragraph, it just really shows you how worthless our dollar really is. Cryptocurrency has hit a significant milestone. It's now worth more than all U.S. dollars currently in circulation. Cryptocurrencies hit a valuation of $2 trillion on April 29th, according to the Wall Street Journal. That's about the same valuation as all U.S. dollars in circulation. However, it has since hit as high as $2.25 trillion, and in the process, actually exceeding dollars in circulation. Now, we have $2 trillion U.S. dollars in circulation. How many dollars in debt are we? 28 trillion. Now, this entire situation reminds me of there was a banking panic back in the 1800s. And basically, back then, our dollar was gold-backed. Like, the beginning of banks was people would go to a bank and they would give the bank their gold. And then the bankers would give them back a paper saying, okay, this is how much gold you have in the bank. And bankers realized that people weren't coming back for their gold. They were just trading those papers amongst each other. And so they started giving out more and more paper that was not gold backed. And so people started realizing this, and then they panicked and they all went back to the banks and said, we want our gold. The banks did not have enough gold to give to the people. And there was a huge panic. We should be feeling the exact same way right now, because look at the article we just read where cryptocurrency is booming because we have, what, $2 trillion in circulation. Meanwhile, we're $28 trillion in debt. And I just want people to understand, again, how worthless the U.S. dollar really is and why cryptocurrency is booming and why, again, Dogecoin is now worth $78 billion. This article came out either today or yesterday as well. It says, who's laughing now? Dogecoin is now worth $78 billion, almost double that of Ford and Twitter, as the one-time comedy crypto's value rises 100% in 7 days ahead of Elon Musk's SNL hosting gig. Of course, SNL is so bad that it crashed Dogecoin, probably costing people millions of dollars. It cost me money too, so thanks SNL for just being absolute trash and costing Americans money. But that is why we're seeing cryptos rising so much right now, because our dollar is absolutely worthless. It's not gold-backed anymore like it used to be. And we're just printing money, throwing it back into the economy and hoping for the best. It's not looking good, guys. It's really not looking good. And again, too, I am fairly new to just the concept of like inflation, the economy, cryptocurrency. So if I said anything factually incorrect here, please, you know, correct me in the comments. But my understanding of this right now is that, yeah, our dollar is completely worthless. Our economy is complete trash. We're going through food and gas shortages, and the government just continues to print more and more money. And Joe Biden is pretending like nothing's happening. He's acting like everything is peachy keen. Again, this is fine while the world burns around him. He actively goes up in front of millions of Americans every single day and pretends like nothing is wrong. And the media continues to parrot those lies and back them up, because we are not living in a free country anymore. We are living in a time of lies, deceit, and deception. And if you call any of this out, you are called the crazy conspiracy theorist. If you call out the fact that, hey, crypto has more value than the average U.S. dollar, people say that you're stupid and it's just a meme, that it doesn't really exist, blah, blah, blah. Well, neither does our U.S. dollar, to be quite honest with you. It is all fake. So on top of all of that going on, we're also seeing just the complete destruction of our military and of our intelligence agencies, like I said in that first Gab tweet. Let's watch the CIA's newest recruitment ad.
I work to ensure that our collection and services are matched up with what CIA needs. Not only am I involved in the acquisitions of journals, books, and countless electronic resources, I'm also encouraged to curate special collections that challenge expectations. Recently, I brought in our intelligence gaming collection to give officers unique opportunities to practice skills they need in their various roles. Instead of sitting for hours in front of a computer-based training, they can play a carefully selected game to train a specific set of skills while simultaneously building on the myriad soft skills essential to intelligence work. My favorite thing about CIA is that they encourage the out-of-the-box ideas that drive real progress. Growing up gay in a small southern town, I was lucky to have a wonderful and accepting family. I always struggled with the idea that I might not be able to.
Okay, that's enough of that nonsense. Now, this is the second CIA recruitment ad that has come out where, again, the basis of it has been on race, sexuality, or mental illness. And we are seeing the complete deterioration of our military, of our intelligence agency. And that's why we are now seeing weak police officers like this guy here in Plano, Texas. It was a police officer who allowed an armed left-wing militia to illegally block traffic and then reprimanded the driver who attempted to clear the road himself. People see videos like this and they're like, why are our police officers like this? Yeah, look to our military, look to our intelligence agencies, and more importantly, look to what the people in power and look to what the government values. Your sexuality, who you're sleeping with, if you suck dick or not. Like, what the hell? Sorry, mom or dad, if you guys are watching this. Sorry to be graphic with that. But it's like, why the hell is that something of importance? And that's why we have so many weak police officers. That's why we have weak leadership. And that's why our entire country is being destroyed. Let's watch this clip. Wow. Absolutely freaking pathetic policing right there. And you know what? To be quite honest with you, the police in okay, the fact that this is happening in Texas, one, is a joke. And luckily for us, our AG Ken Paxton already came forward and was like, this is absolutely atrocious. It's not happening in our state, thank God. But the police in our state, too, are just as cucked as they are in Democrat-run cities. And I know that because I got mobbed by 10 people in Austin, Texas, and I went up to the police immediately after, and I said, hi, I just got mobbed by 10 people and robbed. Please help me. And they said, call the police department and file a report. And then I said, okay, well, it's the middle of the night and there's clearly people out here who want to hurt me. Can one of you please walk me back to my car? I'm scared. And they said, no. So I had to run my little ass a mile and a half to my car in the middle of the night, downtown Austin, filled with crazy homeless people and Antifa militants who wanted to kill me, because the police just don't protect civilians anymore. And then if you get out of your car and you try to actually get people out of the road after they're illegally blocking traffic, you're the one that is at fault here. So absolutely disgusting. And again, shout out to Ken Paxton for being the one who is willing to just make a change here. He posts this tweet and he says, a critical screenshot here. And as you guys can see in this photo, because I'm sure you couldn't really see it too well in the actual video, somebody is holding a gun. So these weren't just angry BLM protesters. They were holding a weapon, pointing it at this man. And what did this police officer do? He told this gentleman that he needed to stop, that he needed to get back into his car. Meanwhile, we have armed domestic terrorists in our streets terrorizing Americans. What the hell is going on? And here in Texas, you got to be kidding me. You know, we just passed our constitutional carry. So all I have to say is BLM and Antifa better be careful. You ever heard of Garrett Foster in Austin? He pulled a rifle out on a Texas driver and he got shot and killed, because people in Texas don't mess around. And when you have a police force who is unwilling to bring criminals to justice or enforce the law, then the people are going to protect themselves in a state with constitutional carry, and it's not going to end well for these Antifa BLM militants. So again, I'm not saying to go and do this. I'm not trying to promote any violence or anything like that. But I do want people to realize the absolute state of our country right now and how dangerous it is when we have police who are standing down and we have, again, armed citizens who are getting very tired of this complete BS. Now, this didn't just happen in Texas. This happened in Portland as well. And of course, it happens every weekend in Portland, so not surprising. But I wanted to show you guys this tweet, because this is the absolute state of the media and Twitter. So it says, breaking, heavily armed anarchist militia in Portland stopped traffic assault driver at gunpoint while he attempts to defend himself. And if you go to the tweet, guess what? It's gone. Do you know why it's gone? Because a lot of these accounts that actually have the ability to go to these Antifa events are Antifa members themselves. And then when they realize that their footage starts going viral because it paints Antifa in a bad light or shows them committing illegal behavior, then they either take down the video or they try to like copyright strike it. They get it taken down. And there you guys go. I watched this clip on Saturday, and I wanted to play it for you guys now, but it's gone already. So we're seeing the complete rewriting of history. We have Jerry Nadler coming forward and saying Antifa is a myth. We have so many different liberal talking heads who say that BLM is peaceful, that cities never burned down. Juan Williams on Fox News is parroting that. And guess what? When you try to go and find the footage of these cities that did burn down, it's gone. How convenient is that? How convenient is that? So again, when we see these weak-ass police officers, look to what our CIA is perpetuating and what they're pushing and what our government is valuing in society, a weak country for everyone. And on top of that, the last line of defense, conservatives are now supporting the transgender and LGBTQ ideologies. Now, there's a big debate right now because a lot of people are supporting Caitlyn Jenner for governor of California, saying that this person is better than Gavin Newsom. But let me just read this tweet to you right here. Caitlyn Jenner says she favors path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants. And basically in this article, I believe Sean Hannity was in her interview or his interview, whatever, use whatever pronouns you want. Honestly, if you look like a girl, I'll call you a she, fine. But I know a lot of conservatives even get pissed off. But Caitlyn Bennett and I are good friends, and she gets mad when people call Caitlyn she. Because, and I think she's right in that, because she has that anger because it's essentially like bowing the knee to the manipulation of language that the left has pushed on us. But anyways, going back to the original topic, Sean Hannity asked Caitlyn if, you know, what we should do with the illegal immigrants that are here. And Caitlyn basically said, well, we'll just give them a path to citizenship. We'll grant them amnesty. And that in itself is just encouraging more people to continue to break the law and cross the border illegally. Again, common sense. I don't understand how people don't understand that. But here we are. We now have conservatives, the last line of defense in our country, to hold traditional and conservative values and to continue to perpetuate them in society and try to save what we can of America. We now have conservatives coming out and supporting Caitlyn Jenner, saying that, you know, this is the person to support for California. It's absolutely ridiculous. And I don't understand how conservatives, we lost the culture war. I really do feel like we lost the culture war, because look at where we're currently at. We're weak. We don't hold the line. And this is a perfect example as to why. Because conservatives, they are so fearful of being called racist or bigots by the left that they're willing to keep accepting the leftist ideologies into our thinking and our ideology. And it was these same leftist policies and thought processes that got us to where we are currently at in America. So I genuinely don't understand the average conservative who advocates for Caitlyn Jenner to be a part of the Republican movement, saying that it's going to save things. And it's like, no, it was the slow infiltration of leftist ideology into our side that got us to where we are today. But you didn't learn your damn lesson. So on top of Democrats and the left and all of those bad ideologies just completely destroying our country, we have conservatives jumping on that bandwagon too. And to be quite honest with you, I blame conservatives more for the destruction of America right now than I do with the Democrats and liberals, because conservatives are the ones that are weak. Conservatives are the ones that refuse to hold the line. And to be quite honest with you, I don't even identify as conservatives anymore, because I am so just disgusted with the party. It's the party of Liz Cheney. It's the party of Nikki Haley. It's the party of warmongers. It's the party of people who are willing to bend the knee to the left. And I don't want to be a part of that party. So conservatives even refuse to hold the line. And we have our media and our entire government lying to us. And that's why we now see, too, in regards to the pandemic we're currently living through, these types of articles still come out. Fat shaming, BMI, and alienation. COVID-19 brought new stigma to large-sized people. And guys, I'm just going to read a little bit of this article to you, because it is the most ridiculous thing I've ever read in my life. Crystal Bougon cried after the needle went into her arm, not because her first dose of the Moderna vaccine hurt, but because finally being fat actually paid off. All right, I want to stop at that sentence right there. Do you see how we have a media who is actively encouraging and showing people how good it is to be obese, how it paid off? This 53-year-old was inoculated in the parking lot of a Kaiser in San Jose on a rainy Friday in March, 4 days after eligibility in California was brought in to include people with underlying conditions. Among them, a body mass index of 40 or more, 233 pounds for an adult who is 5'4" tall. Apparently, her medical records show that she's morbidly obese. As an activist, she prefers the word fat. Her experience with medical providers has been one incident of size stigma after another, she said, like the time she went in with a scratched cornea and was told to lose weight. She fears being hospitalized with COVID-19 and unable to advocate for herself. She should be fearing being hospitalized with COVID-19. Do you know why? And I'm not trying to be mean with this, because over 78% of the people who were hospitalized for COVID-19 were obese or overweight. So when we have all these fat people going to doctors and saying that they're being stigmatized and fat shamed, they're not being fat shamed. It is not healthy to be this weight. It's not conducive to a healthy life at all. But the doctors can't even tell you to lose weight anymore without it being this huge activist thing where, you know, we have to fat people unite around the world, get your vaccine, eat your Krispy Kreme donut, free Nathan's hot dogs. You can get a free joint in New York City. Amazing. What the hell's going on in this damn country? It's just the complete deterioration of America on every single level, at every single angle, in our medical practices, in our media, in our government, in just our institutions, the corporations, the elites, our economy, everything. We're really being hit from all angles. Again, too, we're constantly fed this complete nonsense of Disney goes woke with new anti-racist agenda for employees. And we're seeing this more and more every single day, because all the media does all day long is perpetuate how racist everyone is, when in reality, again, I say this all the time, there is no opportunity in this country afforded to a white person that is not afforded to a brown or black person. I don't even like being called a minority. To me, it's just an insult, because I'm not a minority. I'm an American, and I have every opportunity that every other person in this country has. So don't put me in a box. Don't put me in a category, especially with these victims who feel bad for themselves and who feel like they need to have anti-racist agendas for their employees. Again, going into this article too, just so we can kind of read a little bit into this. Apparently, Disney is pushing critical race theory on employees through a new plan called Reimagine Tomorrow, urging workers to recognize their white privilege in a battery of training modules on topics such as systemic racism and white fragility. Disgusting. Oh gosh. If you suffer from white fragility and you actually think that's a thing, just... I'm not going to finish that sentence, because it was not going to be a nice thing to say. And the Lord told me to be nice today. So on top of the media continuously feeding us this BS nonsense all the time and perpetuating this fake racial divide of how the KKK is on every street corner, that's not freaking happening in this country. We also now too have Baltimore prosecutors requesting investigations from the FCC over Fox affiliate Tucker Carlson's show. Why? Because he was critical of her, and she's now trying to accuse them for things of like racism for their coverage of her. Marilyn Mosby, a Baltimore City state attorney, wrote a letter to the FCC on Wednesday accusing local Sinclair-owned Fox affiliate of things like racism for their coverage of her. There appears to be an intentional crusade against State Attorney Mosby, which, given today's politically charged and divisive environment, is extremely dangerous. So there you guys go. That is the absolute state of America. You are no longer allowed to challenge public officials. You are no longer allowed to be critical of people in government. Now it's just a racial thing. You're not allowed to speak out against your government. I said earlier today that freedom of speech is dead in America, and someone told me that I was dramatic. Really? Really? It's funny that I'm called dramatic for that, when people were literally raided by the FBI because they attended a Trump rally. And we are now seeing Baltimore prosecutors requesting investigations into news networks for being critical of them, doing their job, doing journalism. So yes, the First Amendment is dead in this country. We're not allowed to speak on certain issues and topics. You guys know that I do willingly, but every single time I do as well, I risk being permanently silenced on all of these social media platforms. And if you want to argue that, well, these are private companies and they can do whatever they want, well, guess what? This is the new public square. This is where all of the power is, and people's minds are influenced by what they see on social media. So by completely kicking off one side from the platform, you are creating a safe space, basically, for all these liberal bad ideas and ideologies to thrive and conquer today's society, which is why we are where we are. Now, also, I'm sure you guys didn't see this in the news, because, of course, the narrative didn't fit what the media wanted. There was a Times Square shooting, and the shooter was allegedly aiming for his brother, sources reveal. Now, really funny that this didn't go viral because this man, you know, apparently every single time there's a white mass shooter, it seems to be a big viral story. And we're constantly just hit with a barrage of news of how white supremacy and terrorism is on the rise. Well, this shooter happened to be black. He shot an infant, but nobody cared. Why? Nobody reported on it. Why? Because he was a black male and the media refuses to report on that. Do not ever, ever, ever forget how Project Veritas came out with the video of the CNN director literally saying, if there's a mass shooting and it's a white guy, we're going to talk about that. But if it's a black guy, we're not going to do that because it makes Black Lives Matter look really, really bad. Now, on top of this story, too, I just wanted to give a shout out to the NYPD. Not all police officers are bad. Yes, I was being critical of them earlier, but let's give credit where credit is due. These were members of the NYPD carrying a shot baby to an ambulance. They ran towards the danger, not from it. These men and women are heroes, and I will continue to say it over and over again. That comes from Zeke Arkham on Twitter. And again, there you go. So not all police are bad. The average police officer is willing to put their life on the line. And look at that. That is a woman right there, okay? That's not even men. That's a woman. Like, talk about female empowerment. That's female empowerment right there. A female police officer running towards the danger to go and save a child's life as a black shooter went and just shot people up. And again, too, John Cardillo on Twitter says, the savage who shot a toddler and others in Times Square was not a white supremacist. Apparently, this was something that was echoed by the media, but it came out what this shooter looked like, and that story immediately died. I saw coverage of it for maybe 1 or 2 hours on Saturday. Didn't hear a peep since. Again, I'm highlighting this because if it was a white shooter, it would still be in the news. So on top of our media being complete propaganda, our government being just a complete shit show, pardon my French. Don't forget as well that our border is wide open. This is from Bill Melgen. For the third day in a row, he witnessed another large group of migrants crossing the Rio Grande into the U.S. here in Del Rio, Texas. And he's been down there for 3 days. He's been putting videos upon videos up of this. I don't have the article open, but last night there were young infant girls who were just abandoned by human smugglers in the middle of the desert, and they were rescued by Border Patrol. So this is the absolute state of our border right now. And Joe Biden is just pretending like it's not happening. It's genuinely devastating to see. Like, look at this. They have kids. It's like a kid, what are they called when you put the conveyor belt? It's like a kid conveyor belt, okay? They're like holding these kids and like pulling them across this river, and they just like keep having more and more migrants come through. Man, open borders, socialism, government dependency, a worthless U.S. dollar. Wow, Joe Biden works really fast. He's quite effective. You know, we always say that he's this crazy lunatic with dementia, but he's done a really good job at effectively destroying our country in a little bit over 100 days. So props to him there. And on top of that, too, we're still seeing him and his administration parrot this new rhetoric that our freedoms are privileges, which I think is absolutely hilarious. This is from the Daily Wire. Biden's pandemic coordinator, CDC, will allow vaccinated people more privileges to take off the mask. That's really funny. I don't remember the government telling me ever that I had to wear a mask when I was born. I don't remember the government telling me that my rights were a privilege that could be given and taken away. Now, the last time I freaking checked, our rights were God-given, absolute, and the government has no power to take those away. So it's really funny to me when I see Biden's pandemic coordinator saying that they'll allow vaccinated people more privileges to take off the mask. Guess what? I have been wearing a mask since last year. I'm not vaccinated, and I still am not wearing a mask. So, you know, to all my fellow Americans out there, too, take back your rights because they are not a privilege. They are your right. Again, too, we're seeing Dr. Fauci parrot this same insane rhetoric. Fauci says next Mother's Day will be close to back to normal if certain conditions are met. How about the condition that is the Constitution and my God-given rights? Okay, yeah. I'm pretty sure that if I, just live my life off of that certain condition, it grants me the right to do whatever the hell I want because I'm an American, I'm free, and Dr. Fauci, Joe Biden, this new CDC director, do not run my life. Absolutely not. It's disgusting. So we're 40 minutes into this broadcast, and I wish that I was close to being done. But again, so much news today, guys. So much freaking news. Oh, before we get into just the complete demolition of international relations. Let's also talk about this tweet as well. The fact that there was no prayer service today in the U.S. Capitol for the first time in 70 years on the National Day of Prayer says a lot about the current administration. And that was on May 6, 2021. Now, I always do research behind tweets before I read them off. And so she's saying that there was no prayer service in the U.S. Capitol for the first time in 70 years. And I was like, okay, well, did Joe Biden at least do anything for the National Day of Prayer? Apparently, he made a proclamation, but it lacked any mention of God. And I was like, okay, well, let's just make sure. I went to Snopes, okay, liberal Snopes of all places. Was Biden the first president to omit God in the National Prayer Proclamation? Fact check true from liberal Snopes. And again, if we go back to this article, Biden's National Day of Prayer proclamation lacks mention of God. U.S. President Joe Biden issued on Wednesday the annual proclamation of a National Day of Prayer without mentioning any deity in it. The May 5th statement says that throughout our history, Americans of many religions and belief systems have turned to prayer for strength, hope, and guidance. Prayer has nourished countless souls, empowered moral movements, including essential fights against racial injustice, child labor, and infringements on the rights of disabled Americans. Oh, gosh. So, just no mention of God at all. And before we leave the state of America, I wanted to end it here because this is why we are where we are currently at, because we don't have God in our country anymore. We have fake Catholic leaders in office. Joe Biden touts to the world that he's a Catholic, that he's religious, that he loves God. But all of the Catholic dioceses, I'm not Catholic, so I don't know how to say that word. They've all denounced Joe Biden because his administration refuses to denounce abortion. They say that, you know, using fetuses for medical research is okay. And then in his National Day of Prayer, first time in, what did that article say? 70 years to omit God in the National Prayer Proclamation. And of course, all the liberal articles that I was reading about this was saying that it was great that he omitted that because it really included everyone. No, it discluded God. I don't even know if that's a word. If it isn't, it is now, guys. Sorry, it's late. It's been a long day. He omitted God, and that is the problem with our country right now, and that is why we are where we are, because we have completely rejected God in our society, and that is why we are in shambles. That is why Joe Biden is leading us, and that is why the complete state of traditionalism and the nuclear family is dead. That's why we have a man in high heels and a wig being accepted by conservatives, because these conservatives are not real conservatives. And I'm not saying that you have to be Christian to be a conservative, but at its core, in traditional values, like a lot of that does align with Christianity. And we really have abandoned God in our country, in our politics, in our culture, in everything. And it's showing every single day. And if we're not careful, we're never going to be able to get back from this. Yes, with God, all things are possible. But at this point, I feel like we have fallen so far from grace that God is just letting us live in our sin at this point. And unfortunately, a lot of us who, you know, are God-believing people, we have to suffer along with that. Now, let's talk about international relations, because the first thing I saw today when I logged onto Twitter was Palestine firing rockets at Israel. I saw an article about Iran and the U.S. Shooting warning shots at some of their ships, Beijing threatening Australia. What the hell is going on? And again, I'm bringing all of this up, and I wanted to focus on America first because I really do at my core care more about what's happening in our country. But I think it's worth noting what's happening internationally and comparing it to how international relations were under Trump versus Joe Biden. So again, we are a little bit over 100 days in, and the Middle East is back into a warlike state. Hundreds were injured after violent clashes between Palestinians and Israeli police at Al-Aqsa Mosque. Sorry, you guys know I don't know how to pronounce things. And as you guys can see, there's just videos and videos of all of these violent clashes. Apparently, Palestine fired rockets at Israel. And this was the Iron Dome, which I guess is like a, I was looking it up, and I think it's like a missile system where it like shoots missiles back and then the missiles explode, so it doesn't really hurt people. But people died. They're back in a warlike state over there. And again, I'm bringing this up because such a stark difference to Middle Eastern relations under Trump. Granted, Trump should have been bringing those peace deals here to the U.S. when, you know, we were all being attacked by domestic terrorists. But stark difference, there's peace deals left and right under Trump and under Joe Biden, a little bit over 100 days in, and here we are. This is the absolute state of our country, and that is why I'm highlighting that. And apparently this happened because there were evictions in Jerusalem, and it became the focus of this new Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Apparently, Israel was basically saying that Palestinians were illegally squatting in their homes, and then they pushed them out. I'm not going to get into this issue. Israel and Palestine have been fighting for hundreds and hundreds of years. I'm not going to focus in on it. I'm only talking about this, again, to highlight the stark difference in international relations under Trump versus Joe Biden. Let's also talk about what's going on with Iran. U.S. ship fires warning shots in encounter with Iranian boats. A group of 13 armed speedboats of Iran's Revolutionary Guard made unsafe and unprofessional high-speed maneuvers toward U.S. Navy vessels in the Strait of Hormuz on Monday, and a U.S. Coast Guard cutter fired warning shots when two of the Iranian boats came dangerously close, U.S. officials said. It was the second time in 2 weeks that a U.S. ship opened fire to warn vessels of Iran's paramilitary Revolutionary Guard. The encounters come as the United States and Iran are in indirect talks in Vienna aimed at reviving the 2015 Iran nuclear deal, which the United States left in 2018. And again, remember that nuclear deal where we are basically sending billions and billions of dollars to Iran for them not to build nuclear weapons, but then they basically just use that money to build nuclear weapons. So great job, Joe Biden. Awesome. Everyone is just laughing at us. And we're seeing all these countries act a fool right now because nobody respects Joe Biden. North Korea literally laughed in our faces and said they don't respect us. China, to our faces, said that the U.S. is in no position to be speaking to them the way that we have been under the Biden administration. So absolutely no respect for the U.S. anymore. Not even Americans respect Joe Biden. And this is the perfect example of complete failed leadership. Again, going into what we're seeing with China as well. The newspaper, The Global Times, has called for Beijing to plan missile strikes targeting Australia if it were to join the U.S. in aiding Taiwan against an attack. And of course, I'm just bringing this up now, but this is actually something that's been talked about for the past couple of weeks. A lot of my good friends are from Australia, and they have already, you know, they've been talking about this issue for a while of, you know, China potentially launching missile strikes on Australia if they come to the aid of Taiwan, who we know, similar to Hong Kong, China is trying to take over because that's what China does. Amazing. Just there you go, guys. That's what happens when you don't have strong leadership. All of these other countries who are not our allies, who are our enemies, make threats towards us. They're all bombing each other. International relations are just in complete chaos. Also, the Chinese launched a rocket, and luckily the debris from that rocket landed into the ocean, but there was a big possibility that it could have landed in New York or in California, or, you know, just completely destroyed cities in the U.S. And China was just like, oh, no, sorry. I mean, it's not going to hit us, so no big deal. I talked about that with my friend Adam Kriegler last Wednesday on his show, The Adam Kriegler Show. Tune in. I'm on with him every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Central Time. So yeah, China's just wilding out. And in Canada, we're also seeing police just straight up and their entire government, they're living under a dictatorship right now. My thoughts and prayers and condolences to all of my Canadian friends who are just living under the dictatorship that is Trudeau. And these police officers, this Canadian pastor, the same one that we have talked about on this show, who told the police, like, get out of here, you Nazis, get out of my church, get out of my Easter service, you're not shutting it down. Well, he has been arrested for holding illegal in-person gatherings. Canadian pastor Artul Pawlowski was arrested Saturday for allegedly holding a church service that violated new public health orders pertaining to gatherings. Pawlowski and his brother Dawid were accused of organizing and attending an in-person gathering earlier that day, Calgary police said in a statement. And again, too, here is the video from Rebel News. They've been doing a really great job of, you know, detailing just everything that's been going on with this poor pastor, and more importantly, everything going on in Canada. So go follow Rebel News to keep up with this, because look to Canada for what is going to be coming to the U.S. When you see stuff like this, you should be very concerned, because again, there was Google censorship and censored search engines in China years ago. There was a social credit score in China years ago, and it's been implemented. It's still implemented. Facial recognition is a thing over there. And look at what is now slowly creeping into the U.S. All of these same things. Look at Canada. We are arresting pastors for holding church services, and we have seen things similar to this here in America. Do you remember when police were literally looking into I don't know what Jewish churches are called. Sorry, guys. I will educate myself better. But I don't know, church for Jewish people. Like, police were looking in the windows and were trying to arrest the Jews who were in church in New York. Look to Canada, look to China, look to these other countries to see what is coming to our country and be very aware of the absolute just nonsense and chaos that we're going, that's, you know, going on in our country. And of course, while internationally everything is just crumbling around us, our economy is crumbling. We're living through our test run of socialism. We're living through the food shortages, the gas shortages. I told you it all. The media is still 100% focused on COVID-19 and how deadly this pandemic is. And I want to play this video for you guys because it's absolutely hilarious. Now, this is a news reporter who is confronted by a citizen journalist. And this journalist basically catches him without his mask on. And then as soon as he turns the camera on, he puts the mask on for the camera. It's an absolutely hilarious encounter. And this citizen journalist is awesome. I'll tell you his name after this video.
I have no political agenda, sir. I really don't.
What about all the
that I know does either? We're purely objective journalists.
Yeah, you are. What
truly,
about
truly, sir, from the bottom of my heart?
Okay, I know.
A political dog in any.
Okay, what about all the what about all the compilation videos where they show me at every stage? Hey, talking to you.
Have a good one. Okay. I don't know what you're referring to, so I can't.
Of course you don't. Of course you don't.
Okay.
I know. Okay.
All right. Have a good one.
You too.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. It was great talking to you.
Have a good one.
Put your mask on. Watch out. The virus is going to get you. Oh, why do you got to wear? You didn't have your mask on the whole time, and now you're putting your mask on. Here's the guy. He's been standing here the whole time without his mask. Here's his camera dude with no mask on. But here he is. Now he's still trying to scare everyone. Or he's going to put his mask on.
I'm just gonna pause it there because just look at this man. He's just like having to stand there in shame, knowing damn well he got caught for being a perpetuator of COVID-19 fear porn. This citizen journalist is my freaking hero, man. Like, look at this loser standing here, knowing damn well he looks like a fool for putting his face mask on for the camera. This guy caught him in action, and this guy's just like, you know, there's literally nothing I can do at this point except stand here in shame. And it's absolutely hilarious. I don't know who the citizen journalist is. It might have been New Granada. If it's not, if somebody knows who this journalist is, please put it in the chat because I want to shout out this guy, an American hero who is exposing what's really going on in this country. And why are we still seeing this type of stuff perpetuated in the media? Well, let's find out just how big of a business has COVID become. 424 million PCR tests at a national average of $159 a test, probably low, equals $70 billion on PCR tests alone, not care, just tests. So why are we still seeing the media perpetuating this? Why are we still seeing people told that they have to go take their tests and stay inside? Because it's a billion-dollar industry. Remember I told you guys a couple weeks back that Pfizer made billions off of their vaccine. Billions. Okay? This is a company that's a money-making machine. So of course they're going to scare you into getting it and force you to get it and tell you that you have to get it. Meanwhile, we're actually not seeing stories like this come out. These types of stories get completely hidden because we have to all be good little boys and girls and go willingly line up for our nice little synthetic health jab. Meanwhile, stories like this are just conveniently hidden. Distracted nurse gives woman 6 doses of COVID vaccine in a single shot. Wow, that doesn't seem healthy at all. A 23-year-old Italian woman who was mistakenly given 6 doses of the Pfizer coronavirus vaccine all at once was released from a hospital on Monday without having suffered any apparent adverse reactions. Good. Local health authorities said the incident occurred on Sunday morning at the Noah Hospital in Massa in Tuscany. So this didn't happen in the U.S., but again, we've seen so many stories like this happen in the U.S. And you know what? I'm going to do a special report, and I'm going to put it on my Odyssey channel. Remember to go follow me down below on my Odyssey channel, where I'm going to be putting out videos showing you guys what's really going on in this country and highlighting all the videos of how like the stuff like this is happening here in the U.S. But again, the media doesn't highlight it. Also, you know, what else isn't being highlighted is the fact that the CDC is now limiting reviews of vaccinated but infected, which is drawing some concern. Federal health officials this month decided to limit how they monitor vaccinated people who have been infected with COVID-19, drawing concern from some scientists who say that may mean missing needed data showing why and how it happens. At the end of April, more than 9,000 Americans were reported to be infected after being vaccinated, according to the CDC. While that's a tiny percentage, blah, 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 they still want to know what is spurring these infections. And oh, that's funny. Rare breakthrough cases are expected since no vaccines are 100% effective. Wow. There's a little bit of truth in the media there. That's pretty crazy. So now we're limiting the review of vaccinated people. I wonder why that is. Again, I'll go in depth on my Odyssey channel. I'm not going to do it here because you can't have freedom of speech on YouTube. And we're seeing the media continue to perpetuate this fear porn because it's a billion-dollar industry and it's a money-making machine. It's a money-making machine. Another article that you guys probably haven't seen from the Wall Street Journal, kids' weight gain in the pandemic is alarming doctors. Again, always very important to bring light to how we are affecting our children and how this pandemic has been so detrimental to their health. Apparently, a disruption in routines has contributed to worrying weight gains and weight-related health issues among children, pediatricians say. Pediatricians are seeing an alarming weight gain in children and adolescents as many return for in-person visits for the first time since the pandemic began. Doctors say they are seeing normal weight children become overweight or even obese. Overweight children become obese and obese children add more weight. Doctors also report increases in weight-related health conditions such as high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and fatty liver disease. And some children with pre-diabetes are being diagnosed with type 2 diabetes. This medical director says, I've been really shocked by the amount of kids who have gone from normal weight to obese in a short period of time during the pandemic. So again, Dr. Fauci, this new CDC director, is going to tell us that we have to stay locked down for our health while completely ignoring how many children are just being adversely affected health-wise because of these lockdowns. No one wants to talk about that. And that is just such a heartbreaking story. And again, I will bring up again the CNBC article that stated that over 78% of the COVID-19 hospitalizations were obese or overweight people, okay? Now, I still have quite a bit of news here, but we're already coming up on 55 minutes, and I don't want to... All right, 5 more minutes of news, and then I'm going to get to your guys' super chats. Thank you guys so much for sticking with me. I'm having a record number of viewers tonight. This is awesome. Thank you guys so much for sharing the show. I love seeing us grow. Let's talk about the Asian hate crimes that are currently going on, too. We'll go into a little bit of a news blitz here. Elderly Asian woman in Baltimore brutally beaten by man with a cinder block. 2 Asian women were assaulted at a Baltimore liquor store when they worked on Tuesday night. The attacker struck them repeatedly with a cinder block, but of course, we have not heard too much from this. They were 2 Asian women of 66 and 67 years of age, respectively. They were assaulted at the Baltimore liquor store, and the attacker struck them repeatedly with a cinder block. Like I just said, it's just so sad to see all of this stuff happen. And it's like, oh, well, why are we not seeing this? Well, this guy, David Beard, says, well, one woman was 85, one was 65. Both are Asian American. Both were stabbed by white men. This is a different Asian hate crime story. And then he puts out this tweet saying, update, suspect arrested in an attack on 2 Asian American women in San Francisco. They're recovering from their injuries. And the Dank Knight says, wow, wonder what the update was. That was the suspect. So just again, the media just being complicit in hiding the crimes of the Black community, specifically Black men. Very sad to see. Now, you know, you guys know I like to end the show on a positive note. And that positive note today, there's 2 positive notes for you guys. This isn't even the best positive note, okay? Starbucks apparently is considering quitting Facebook because of hateful responses to its woke posts on social issues. No, oh my gosh. Facebook, followed by 35 million people, you know, the Starbucks Facebook page, they're just really thinking of quitting because people are just like so mean online. And like, they just really can't handle it. It's like, we're just trying to be woke and inclusive and like, you know, completely ostracize the white community and be racist towards them. And I just don't understand why we're getting hate from it. It's just so bad. So we just might have to leave social media because it's just so hateful. Pathetic. You people are pathetic. You know, one of my favorite quotes, I think it's from Tyler, the Creator. He's like, cyberbullying doesn't exist. Just walk away from the screen. And I thought, like, that quote has stuck with me for my whole life because I think it's freaking hilarious. And I 100% agree. It's like, bro, if you feel bad about mean things that people are saying to you on the internet, then just don't read it, bro. Just don't read it. You're doing it to yourself, man. There you go, Starbucks. That's my word of wisdom for you. And finally, the best news of the day, my friends. Let's end it on a very positive note. Jen Psaki says she's going to step down next year. Yeah. You should do it now, Jen Psaki, because we're tired of hearing your mumbled, jumbled words every single day. Girl, please go take a speech class. I did in college, and as you can clearly see, it worked. I can speak coherently. I can answer questions. I know what's going on internationally and here in my country. I bet I could do a better job as press secretary unprepared than Jen Psaki could, because that girl has no idea what's going on. Sometimes I feel like she and Joe Biden are just perfect for each other because they both have no idea what's going on. They just like wake up in the White House and they're like, I'm so underqualified for this job. Somebody please help me. And that's every day of their life. All right, y'all. That is the end of tonight's episode of Rapid Fire. My name is Savannah Hernandez. Remember too, guys, before you guys take off and before we get to these super chats, to go follow me on my Odyssey channel. Do not wait until you come back for another episode of Rapid Fire to go, you know, to come and feed your brain, to become nice and smart. Don't wait until you come back to my YouTube channel and it's completely gone off the face of the earth and you do not know how to find me. Please go follow me on my Odyssey channel now. We are growing over there and I put up a lot of exclusive content on this channel that you're not going to find here on YouTube, like this interview with Michelle Malkin. I also have this video right here that is very, very popular and it is not on YouTube. So please go follow me on my Odyssey channel. Again, I cannot express how important this is. Do not wait until I get banned. Remember, guys, I've already been banned off of Twitter and I learned my lesson the hard way. I am now trying to, go to multiple platforms as much as I can. So that way I am, making sure that my content is still getting out there. Oh, also another big announcement. I now have a website, savsaysofficial.com. It's just a landing page right now. But if you want to go and put your email in, that would be super awesome. I'm going to start sending email updates. And I'm going to use my website to basically bring together all of the research that I've done over the years. So that way when people say, why do you believe what you do? You're crazy. Can you show me your sources? I'll be like, here's my website. Go read it for yourself because it's not my job to inform you. Go inform yourself. All right, y'all. That is the end of tonight's show.